Welcome to the Spartan Underground Show, your ultimate resource for everything Spartan race training. Discover what the best SGX coaches are doing to help their clients boost performance, dominate obstacles, and get through each race burpee free. Here is your host, Mike Diebler.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Spartan Underground SGX Show. I'm your host, SGX coach Mike Diebler, and as usual, we have an awesome show for you today. If you have any questions, comments, or want to reach out to me, please email me at info@spartanunderground.com. If you're listening on iTunes, please give us a review. We'd love to know how we're doing. So give us some comments and feedback so we can keep providing a great show and great content for you. This week, we're doing kind of a themed episode. Now, if you've listened to the show before and listened to some of the tips I've given out, as well as many of the coaches we've interviewed, you've seen us stress the importance of recovery and how so many people just don't include this as a regular portion of their training. Now, we're all for training hard and pushing ourselves, but if we don't work recovery in, you're more likely to get hurt and your performance is going to suffer from it. So there's lots of different aspects of recovery, but the theme this week and this episode is going to be on mobility. If you don't have proper mobility, you're really asking for an issue, most likely for an injury, but at least you're not going to be able to move the way you want to move and perform the way you want to perform. So with that in mind, we're going to be focusing on mobility in this episode. So with our research review, we are going to go over a few research studies on foam rolling and self-myofascial release and some of the benefits of doing those types of stretching routines. Our resource is going to obviously involve a mobility tool. Actually, we're going to go over a couple tools for you to use. And then in our SGX coach interview, we have Coach Bonnie Spartan on, who, among other things, is going to talk about mobility and how it's helped her and her clients get through different Spartan races. And we're going to touch on Ultra Beast training as well. I know if you are listening to this when we release it, the World Championships just happened, so a lot of you probably did the Beast or maybe attacked the Ultra Beast, and I wish I could have made it this weekend. I heard it was a brutal course with some brutal weather, but you know what? It sounded actually pretty fun. So I'm hoping next year I can join you guys out there. But there's still a lot of races to come. We are going to be running in Dallas, the sprint. So if anyone is going to be in the Dallas area, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to meet up. And if you want to run with us, we'll be in the Elite Heat. Should be a good time. So let's get to our episode. All right, well, this week's research review, like I said, we're going to go over three studies that look at self-myofascial release using a foam roller. And most likely you've heard of myofascial release or foam rolling. But this is something that you definitely want to be incorporating into your program if you're not doing it already. I know one thing I joke about sometimes is that the older I get, the longer my warm-up seems to be and the shorter my workout actually is, which I joke, but it's funny how true that really is, because I know I need to spend significant amount of time on the foam roller, because if I don't, that's when things tend to go bad and injuries pop up, or I just don't work out as well and I don't move as well. So hopefully you're already foam rolling, but if not, you definitely want to listen to these studies to see some of the benefit. Now, if you haven't heard of this before, but we call it self-myofascial release. So the term myofascial just means myo is referring to muscle tissue, and the fascia is referring to the soft tissue component of connective tissue. So it's like the connective tissue surrounding your muscle tissue. Now, these two tissues, fascia and muscle, respond differently to things like stretching and pressure. So while stretching is great and it definitely should be a part of your regular routine, it can't do everything. And when it is combined with foam rolling, there are a ton of extra benefits that you're going to get. So if you're just stretching, that's great, keep stretching, but you definitely want to add in self-myofascial release. because of all the benefits you're going to get from there. And on a side note, obviously when you get a massage, the same thing's going on here, but it's no longer self-myofascial release. You're having manual therapy done where somebody else is releasing that tissue. Now, one of the biggest mistakes people make when they get a massage is they just kind of relax, they get off the table, get changed, and they tend to just kind of head home and go about their day again. Now, when you get a massage, you are opening up the window for your muscles and joints to move so much better. So really, after you get your massage, you want to make sure you are doing some type of stretching, whether it's static stretching or assisted stretching, whatever. Just getting some type of stretch in there and actually take advantage of this opportunity that you have, because it's not going to last forever, right? You feel awesome after the massage, and then by the next day, you're already starting to see a decline in the effects of that. So what I recommend is find massage therapists that actually do stretching as part of their routine. Yes, it might mean that they're going to stop 10 minutes early on the massage so they can stretch you, but it's definitely worth it to have somebody stretch you out after your massage to get the full benefit of that work there. So let's get into some of these studies. So the first one is from the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research from March 2013. And what they wanted to look at in this study was maximum voluntary muscle contraction and range of motion. So one of the drawbacks you see on stretching is the decrease in power output or performance after stretching a muscle out. Now, I have my own personal opinions on this, and I can probably spend a whole episode talking about stretching. So I'm going to save that for a future episode. But I do think there are some misconceptions about stretching, static stretching pre-workout, and sometimes it is actually a good thing, although many people say it's bad because of this decrease in power output. But it's at least something to be aware of, and I'll spend future episodes talking about when static stretching is appropriate and how to maximize that when you're doing it before a workout. So with this study, wanted to look at that though, because we don't want to reduce performance and power when we are warming up, right? We're trying to maximize our ability to get the best workout that we can. So what they did was they took a group of males and they had them foam roll the quads, and they actually did two sets of 1 minute rolling back and forth on their quadriceps, and then they did this, and then at another time they did it without foam rolling, and they tested before, 2 minutes after, and 10 minutes after range of motion at the knee, right? So the quadricep is going to affect range of motion at the knee, how much you can flex and extend, and they also looked at maximal voluntary contraction, so how hard they could recruit those muscle fibers in the quad muscles. So they looked at basically a leg extension. All right, and what they found was when they did the foam rolling, so obviously in the control group, they saw no change in range of motion. So what they were before is what they, you know, they waited a little bit, and then they tested for range of motion and power afterwards. And there was no change in range of motion when they did not foam roll. And in fact, they found that there was an association with decreased power with less range of motion, which was interesting. Then when they foam rolled, so they tested range of motion and power, then they foam rolled 2 minutes, and then they performed the tests again at 2 minutes and at 10 minutes. And they found after foam rolling at 2 minutes, there was a 10 degree increase in range of motion, and then at 10 minutes there was an 8 degree range of motion. So roughly the same. They got about a 10 degree increase in range of motion from foam rolling, which is a significant amount. And they found that there was no decrease in performance, which you might see with static stretching and then performing this test. So that was a pretty interesting study where they show there was an increased range of motion and no decrease in performance. So didn't lead to increased muscle voluntary contraction, but there was no decrease. And that's the key here, is many times when we are static stretching that many people do before a workout, they actually see a decrease in performance. So thought that was an interesting study to bring up with you guys. The second study is from 2015, the Journal of Athletic Training. Now, in this study, they wanted to look at more looking at DOMS, or delayed onset muscle soreness. So I'm sure you've done a hard workout before, pushed yourself, and then the next couple days you felt that workout. That's delayed onset muscle soreness. And what they wanted to do in this study was to see if foam rolling had any effect on that, as well as a few different tests. So what they did was they had a control group and experimental group. The control group basically didn't do any foam rolling. They just did the testing. And then they had the experimental group that foam rolled. They spent about 20 minutes foam rolling the lower body. They did the quads, the adductors, the hamstrings, the IT band, and the glutes. All right, so they spent 20 minutes rolling various muscles of the lower body. And they wanted to see what kind of effect this had after a workout. So they did testing at 24 hours later, at 48 hours later, and then again at 72 hours later. And what they found was that at all three measurements, there was actually a decrease in pain threshold, or basically a decrease in the effects felt from that delayed onset muscle soreness. So they weren't as sore when they foam rolled. Which is a great thing. But even more importantly, if you're focusing not just on not feeling as much soreness after a workout, but performance. And two things they noticed a significant difference in was sprint timing and broad jump distance. So kind of speed and power, which are two really important things. And what they found was that when you foam roll, you actually don't see the same decrease in performance immediately after a hard workout. So, for example, you do a really tough workout one day, and then the next day you're pretty sore, or 2 days later you're really sore, and then you try and do maximal sprinting or maximal power jumping or other performance exercises like that. And typically, because you're sore, you're not going to be able to perform the best that you could. But maybe you have back-to-back races or back-to-back events or back-to-back workouts, and you need to be as strong as you can and as powerful as you can on consecutive days or 2 days later. And that's what they found was when they did not foam roll and they experienced soreness after a workout, they saw a significant decrease in sprint times and broad jump distance at 24 hours later, 48 hours later, and 72 hours later. But those that did foam roll didn't see the same significant decrease in performance. There was some decrease, but it wasn't as significant. So you may not completely be able to prevent a decrease in performance, but you will have a better performance than if you don't foam roll. So make sure you're foam rolling for improving mobility and making sure that you maximize your performance if you are going to be competing or working out again a day or two or three later. Now, the final study that I wanted to bring up, this is another one from the Journal of Strength and Conditioning Research from January 2014, and this one was called Acute Effects of Self-Myofascial Release Using a Foam Roller on Arterial Function. Now, that might sound kind of weird, but arterial extensibility has actually been shown to reduce flexibility as well. Sometimes we just think of the muscle, but there are other things that might reduce flexibility. So they wanted to look at arterial stiffness, which is a big thing, could be a big issue, not just for mobility, but for heart health and vascular endothelial function as well. So again, just think how your cardiovascular system is functioning, which is how are we getting blood to the muscles to get oxygen there and other nutrients, and how are we getting waste products and carbon dioxide out, clearing lactate, all things like that. So the better the heart is pumping blood out and getting it to where it needs to go and then back to the lungs, it's really important for overall health and performance. So they wanted to look at this, and they measured brachial ankle pulse wave velocity, which we're not going to get into a ton of physiology here and testing, but that's basically just a test that they use to measure arterial stiffness and vascular function. So basically how well the blood is traveling through the body. And then they also looked at blood pressure and heart rate and nitric oxide, which you probably heard of NO. It's you know, like NO Explode and other supplements that have nitric oxide precursors trying to increase nitric oxide because it is a vasodilator. So it actually expands the vessels so blood can be transported easier because it's going to be more relaxed and wider, and blood can get through a lot easier versus something that constricts and makes it harder for the blood to get through. So hence the idea behind some of those pre-workout supplements are to increase vasodilation, so more blood, more nutrients, more oxygen is getting to the working muscle so you can work out harder. So that's obviously an important thing, and you don't have to take a supplement because it's naturally in your body. And what they found was after foam rolling, they actually saw a increase in NO in the blood, as well as a decrease in the brachial ankle pulse velocity, which basically what this is saying, that it improved vascular functioning, which, yes, it's great for mobility, it's great for reducing muscle soreness, but this is also a great tool just to help blood flow get to the working muscle and then get out of the muscle. So a lot of times blood is just sitting in your legs. If you do a hard workout and then just go sit in a car or sit at your desk, and blood's having a hard time getting out of your legs. So this is a great way to do post-workout as well to improve that blood flow to help you with a better recovery. So like I said, if you're not doing any form of self-myofascial release, I highly recommend it at least before workout, but really if you can, before and after workout to maximize its benefits there. All right, and to continue our mobility theme episode, our resources of the week are all going to be self-myofascial release tools. So in today's show notes, you're going to find links for all these if you're looking to purchase some of these things, or if you're just not sure what I'm talking about. So I'll put the studies in the show notes so you can check those out if you want to read those. You'll also see some foam rolling exercises if you're not sure where to get started. So definitely check out the show notes at www.spartanunderground.com/episode-8 and you'll get all those links there. But today what I thought I'd do for our resources of the week, I just wanted to kind of share my top self-myofascial release tools that I use pretty much every time I work out. And as we get into our SGX interview, you're going to hear Coach Bonnie talk about some of these same tools, so I'll definitely link to where you can get some of these. But number one, like I've already mentioned, is the foam roller. So if you don't have a foam roller, make sure you go get one. They do come in different densities, different sizes. White is typically the softest, least dense. It's a good place to start. And then they have blue, which is a little bit harder, a little bit more firm. And then black is usually the most dense. Then they have other ones that have kind of ribs on it or grids, like the grid or from Trigger Point Therapy. You might see things like the Rumble Roller that has knobs on the end. In my opinion, those are a little bit too much for most people. When you're foam rolling, if you can't relax and breathe, you're kind of defeating the purpose. So sometimes with those knobs, it's just too painful for some people, but some people can tolerate it. So just make sure if you're turning red from holding your breath or you're crying or screaming, you're putting too much pressure in and you're not getting the benefit out of this. You should be able to relax and breathe as you do it. So number one, get a foam roller. Number two is get a lacrosse ball. If you can't handle a lacrosse ball, use a tennis ball. But these are great for working smaller areas like the bottom of your feet, your hip rotators, your pecs, shoulders. Lacrosse balls really come in handy there. So foam roller, lacrosse ball. Number three would be a dimple ball. Again, it's a smaller object, so it gets in some of these tougher places. Big fan of using it on the pecs, on the lats, and then the hamstrings for sure. Dimple ball, it looks like a softball. And you can use a softball too, but it has dimples in it. If you've ever gone to a batting cage and those yellow balls that they use there that have those bumps in it, that would be a dimple ball. And after the dimple ball, it is the stick, or any kind of massage stick like a tiger tail. Basically looks like a rolling pin that you're going to use, and this is just a way to really dig in and attack certain areas. Again, sometimes people are too aggressive, but if you can breathe and really get that muscle, get that tissue moving around, it's really beneficial. So the foam roller, lacrosse ball, a dimple ball, and a stick I think are just a must-have for any racer or really anybody that's working out and just wants to to move better. These are all going to really, really help you out. And then the bonus resource is one of my favorite tools to use, and that is the MoBot. So this is a water bottle that is also a foam roller. So it has a foam roller on the outside of it. I will put a link in the show notes. I think this is such a cool thing. It's kind of one of those things when you first look at it, you're like, damn, I wish I had that idea. That's brilliant. So it's all it is a water bottle with a foam roller around it. So they have different sizes, but I am somebody who travels a lot, so it's great to be able to take that with me and just throw it in my bag. Now I have my water bottle. Now I have my foam roller. If I'm heading to a race, I just throw it in my bag, have my water, foam roll for a little bit, and then I can go check my bag and then after the race, grab it and foam roll again. So if you haven't seen a MoBot before, again, check out our show notes. I'll put a link in there. They're pretty cool. They definitely come in handy, and I promise you'll use it for both hydrating and for staying mobile. All right, this week in the SGX interview, we have Coach Bonnie Spartan. Coach Bonnie is the co-owner of Fitness Without Limits. In this episode, she is going to give us some great insight on some of her own lessons and failures and mistakes that she's made. And like I said, we're heavily revolving around the importance of mobility. So she's going to give her insights on mobility, some specific routines to help you get started, especially for running and running Spartan races. And she's even going to throw in some great tips if you are ever deciding to tackle the Ultra Beast. So you definitely want to listen to this interview. All right, what's up, everybody? I have a great interview lined up for you today. I am with SGX coach Bonnie Nusiforo, or you may know her online as Coach Bonnie Spartan. How you doing today, Coach?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're prepping for Tahoe this weekend, so we're fitting this in your busy schedule right now, so I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So why don't we just start at the beginning and let our listeners know a little bit more about you in case they have never heard of you before.
Okay. Well, I am Bonnie Spartan. That's how most people do know me. I've been running obstacle course races for about 4 years now. Tough Mudder was actually my first. And then I ran my first Spartan a few months after that and just fell in love. I love the whole aspect of it, the timing, the penalty, how you can actually see yourself improve as you go. It became my reason for training. Before I had OCR in my life, I was out of shape. I had never run a mile. I was that girl in PE who was at the back of the pack whining about, why do we have to run, coach? Why? I hate running. I still am not a big fan of running. That's why I like OCR opposed to marathons or half marathons. Because you have the obstacles that break up the just running. Mm-hmm. So I've found that this has given me a why to train, and I love coaching other people and helping them find the same journey. That's what made me decide to become a coach. And what better thing to coach in than obstacle course racing? It's fun, it's exciting, and it attracts so many different people.
Definitely. Awesome. And I can definitely relate. I've never run a half marathon. I've never run a full marathon, and I probably never will. But I'll run a beast, you know, and probably an ultra beast one day. But yeah, it's just different. So maybe I'm just
totally
fooling myself. But
everything's different. I love it. I've done one half marathon, and about at mile 8, so where's the wall? Where's the obstacle? What are we doing?
I know, you just have to like run off the road and climb a wall somewhere. And
exactly, find something.
Okay, so you've been doing it for about 4 years now. Let's talk about your first Spartan race. I'm sure you remember it pretty well.
Oh, vividly.
So what was your experience? Was it easy, hard? Did you train for it? Did you just jump right in? What was it like?
My first race was a super. I started with a super in Temecula. I was training for it. When I first decided to take this journey into OCR, I Google searched because I was terrified. What am I going to do? I found meetup.com and I found MROC, Mud Run and Obstacle Course Training Center in Oceanside, which is where I was living, and met some awesome people there, awesome coaches, awesome people, ran the race with some people I'd met at that gym. And I'm going to say I probably burpeed 90% of the obstacles. I couldn't climb a rope. I couldn't climb a wall. I remember they had the what was it called? That you dragged by a chain, a block of concrete.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, I don't remember what they called that. Yeah. I couldn't do it. My friend had to come back. He was running it with his wife. It was us two girls, and then I call my OCR brother, because we've run so many races together. He came back and finished dragging it for me because I just was not strong enough. I had no skills, no strength. We probably walked most of it. It was an experience. I was bruised and beaten by the time it was done, but I knew I wanted more. I wanted to see that improvement and eventually get up that dang rope.
How about the spear? How'd you do the spear the first time?
Oh, I missed. Yeah. I missed for a long time, a really long time. That was definitely a skill that did not come easy to me. I learned how to climb the rope before I learned how to throw a spear properly.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So after your first race, were you kind of beat up, broken down, or feeling awesome?
I wasn't broken. I was definitely bruised, but I didn't have any long-term injuries. But I was so pumped to get that medal, to get that experience. I was so excited. I knew I wanted more. And I signed up for another one shortly after that. I wanted my trifecta. I want that trifecta. So I did the Beast from Hell that September.
Oh yeah. I remember that one.
Which I was really disappointed in because I only got about 4 or 5 miles of my Beast in. Mm-hmm. And right after that, I had my first Ultra Beast in August in Hawaii. So I was a little nervous about that, but I knew I wanted more and more. I wanted to see what Spartan could give me.
Awesome. So let's talk about the Ultra Beast, because you're planning on running it this weekend, right?
I am. I'll be up in Tahoe running that mountain.
How do you feel about it right now?
I am the kind of person who never goes into a race overconfident. I'm nervous before every race because I know the week of your race, you start questioning, where was my training on point? Am I prepared enough? Do I have the right equipment, especially for a race like Tahoe? I'm a Southern California girl. I don't go up in the cold. The ocean is cold to me. So I'm questioning everything that I've put into this race to this point. I'm excited and I'm ready to do it. But some issues from last year that left me pretty well injured are definitely still in my mind. So I'm a little bit nervous, but I know I've worked hard to overcome those issues and I'm hoping for a great outcome.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about last year a little bit and your experience. So was last year your first Ultra Beast?
Last August was my first Ultra Beast in Hawaii, and it was amazing. I ran it with friends. We did it in 10 hours. It was a beautiful venue. I mean, where could you find a better venue? It was warm. It was sunny. It was amazing.
Awesome.
And then in October, I ran my second Ultra Beast in Tahoe.
Okay.
On the course, about 2 minutes, and said out loud, "This is not Hawaii." To which everybody was like, "Really? No kidding." different experience.
All right. Well, let's talk about that experience. So it's always great to talk about the fun stuff and when everything goes well. But unfortunately, in races, things go wrong. And it sounds like some things went wrong in your Tahoe Ultra Beast.
About mile 8, my knees started hurting. I'd experienced knee pain in the past, but I hadn't really paid too much attention to it since I successfully completed the Hawaii Ultra Beast. I thought I was over my issues of tight tendons and ligaments. And I went into Tahoe pretty confident that I was going to be just fine. I was more worried about the distance and the elevation as opposed to my body's capabilities. But by mile 8, it was obvious that I was not going to have a good race. My knees were hurting. I don't have a chronic knee injury. It was just tightness due to the cold and lack of proper preparedness going into the race as far as proper mobility work, proper stretching, SMR, and really getting in there and loosening everything up before I stepped foot on that course definitely would have done well for me. I couldn't run downhill, which is kind of where you make up your time when you're running a mountain. Yeah. You may not move quickly uphill, but moving downhill, you want to be able to move. And as my friend called it, I was Frankenstein. I had a straight leg, everything, mm-hmm. which took the pressure that your knees would normally absorb as shock absorbers and put it directly into my hips. Mm. I ended up with serious inflammation in my hips by the end. I probably should have taken myself out of the race, but I wasn't quite ready to face that DNF. It took me 14 hours, so I finished just ahead of the cutoff. So I did finish, but it was not a good finish. For the next 2 months, I couldn't run at all. It hurt so badly just to walk, and it was just because of lack of proper preparedness.
And it sounds like mobility was a big lacking piece there for you.
I thought I had worked on it. I foam rolled, but I didn't really understand at the time the importance of everything. You foam roll, oh, it hurts. Well, that must be effective. You do it once in a while. Okay, that's great. You really need to be consistent with it, or it's a Band-Aid. If I had paid more attention to my body, I would have known about the tightness. I would have been more focused on it, and I would have had a better outcome with it. I've since seen a doctor to focus on active release therapy and found that my pelvis, as most women's pelvis, tilts forward slightly. I had a baby and it threw my body out of alignment a little bit. But had I taken the time to focus on what's going on with my body, I would have known that going in, and I would have followed proper stretching techniques to deal with those imbalances so I could have had a successful race.
Let's talk about foam rolling and SMR and self-myofascial release, just in case any of our listeners have no idea what we're talking about here. How would you explain this and the benefit of it?
Well, as athletes, we push our bodies. Every one of us who steps foot on the Spartan race course, we're an athlete. We've put ourselves through some sort of training to get to that point. And we've pushed ourselves. We've worked tirelessly day after day to get to a certain point where we feel comfortable, ready to set foot on that race course. We've worked to achieve those gains in that strength and speed because we want to be able to compete. We're not just out there to do it. We want to be able to compete and see what we can do. That's why people do Spartan races. But all of that built up, it causes imbalances in our muscles. It causes little tears in our muscles, which is normal, but we need to give our muscles a little bit of love and support and really work to break down those knots, to break down those imbalances so we can function at a normal way. If you have tightness in your calf, in your left calf, you're going to baby it naturally. Your right calf is going to take a little bit more of that brunt. If you work with a foam roller to relieve that tightness in your left, now both calves are functioning properly and you're a well-rounded athlete. If you have an injury to your left side, your left calf, now your right side's working harder. That's going to travel up the chain. Now you're going to have knee problems, hip problems, and it's going to move all over the place just because of a small injury that you could have prevented by just taking the time to get a foam roller. You can find them at any sporting goods store, Amazon, wherever. Google is a great resource these days. There's everything out there. All you need to do, if you don't have access to a specialist, is Google foam rolling techniques for, it's as easy as calf tightness foam rolling. And you'll find videos on YouTube that will help you to work out that knot so it doesn't translate into other issues down the way.
Awesome. And I'll put some links in our show notes so people don't even have to go to Google. They can just go there and find some foam rollers and some videos. Perfect. Of a couple common areas.
There's so much information out there.
Yeah. It's
really easy to access, and with sites like yours, it's amazing that you have access to specialists who know what they're talking about.
Yeah. And so do you, obviously there's so many different types of self-myofascial release tools. Do you have anything in particular you're kind of, you tend to recommend or whatever you have available?
Because of where my tightness is localized in the knee area, I use a lacrosse ball. It's a hard rubber ball. Again, you can find online, and I use that by applying constant pressure to a particular point, a particular tendon along the knee, along the IT band, and to add that pressure for 30 seconds, if you can take it. A lacrosse ball is a little extreme. A lot of people like a nice soft foam roller, especially when you're starting out. A softer foam roller makes it a little bit nicer to roll on. But your muscles are supposed to be soft and supple. You shouldn't feel pain when rolling on any type of foam roller, whether it's a knobby one, a nice smooth one, a lacrosse ball, whatever you're working with. You shouldn't feel any kind of pulling or pain from it. And working with that tool, whatever it is, your ball, your roller, even one of your hand rollers, that it looks kind of like a rolling pin, and you use it to roll down the muscle. If there's a specific spot where you feel a little bit of a jump in the muscle, a little bit of an extra bump that you didn't feel along the rest of it, that's an adhesion in the muscle tissue. It's an actual tear where your body's built up a little bit of a knot, basically. And these tools help you to work that out, whatever your level, your comfort level is with that getting in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think with my clients, I'll kind of tell them, you need that sweet spot where if you're on a white foam roller and maybe you don't feel anything, then it's really not doing anything. But then if you're on like a rumble roller and you're screaming and crying and holding your breath the whole time, then maybe it's time to back off a little bit and find that happy middle ground.
Exactly.
So I'm sure you work with a lot of clients preparing for races. Do you kind of see similar issues or maybe like common areas that you think people should be foam rolling? Like maybe they're not in pain, they don't have knee pain, but that doesn't mean they can't benefit from this. So do you kind of have your go-to at least starting point for somebody if they're just not sure what they should foam roll?
A lot of my clients recently have brought up shin splints, and people don't think of foam rolling as something that you would use to help with shin splints. But shin splints are really common, especially when you're just starting out. You're just finding your form in running. Oftentimes you're putting a lot of pressure on the front of your leg because you're leaning forward. You're in an uncomfortable position trying to run this distance that you've never run before. I definitely recommend using a softer foam roller to help ease those shin splints, to help break up that tissue that's knotted. And also the glutes. The glutes are big, powerful muscles, but they get knots too. And when we're squatting, when we're running hills, we're doing all these different movements, our glutes need a little bit of love. And that tracks right down to the hamstrings. If you can work with that foam roller to get into those trigger spots, that especially when you're just getting into this and you're finding what works for you, work on those trigger spots and find those areas that maybe don't hurt just standing there, but once you get on it with a foam roller, you feel, oh, there is a knot in my glute. Oh, it is pulling my hamstring. Okay, I'm going to work in there. And another area, most people are quad dominant. When they first start running, because they're putting so much pressure on the front of their legs, they easily become quad dominant. And your quads can turn into rocks and create all kinds of different issues along the way, which is part of what led to my knee pain. I was so quad dominant, my quads were just pulling on all the tendons connected to my knees. It was horrible. But breaking up those knots and loosening that giant muscle definitely lends to a lot of relief. Even though your quads don't hurt necessarily, breaking up that tightness, muscle is supposed to be supple. Muscle isn't supposed to be a rock. Mm-hmm. So breaking that down, working through the knots, working with your roller, working with your lacrosse ball, whatever you're working with, you want to find all those areas that just aren't quite right. And maybe you don't know that they don't feel quite right, but working with your SMR tools, you're going to find those spots.
Awesome. So what would be the next step if, because I'm assuming rolling, you're suggesting is one piece of the mobility equation. What other things should we look at in order to improve our mobility?
Proper stretching. Okay. Now, before we work out, obviously we warm up, but we also need to stretch properly. For a long time, we reached back to our old PE days, and we would do our static stretches, hold this for 30 seconds, okay, this one for 30 seconds. But we found that dynamic stretching before a workout actually lends better to good performance in our workouts. So dynamic stretching, which helps to promote blood flow, loosens up your joints and primes your tendons and ligaments for the activity you're going to partake in, is another way to help yourself get ready to work out and to break everything up. We tend to sit a lot. We have office jobs. We sit at our desk. We We're tight people, but by using dynamic stretching techniques prior to working out, we're taking those muscles that have been sitting in one position for a long time, and we're helping get everything flowing and moving before we ask them to go do work.
Okay. And I know it's hard to do this just through audio, but in case people aren't sure what dynamic stretching is, could you just give a quick example of something people can do?
Yeah, starting with a forward lunge, rather than holding the forward lunge, lunge forward, press up, switch legs, lunge forward with the other leg, press up, come up. Now, it's not a workout. You're doing it slowly and to feel the stretch. You're actually lunging into it, feeling that tension point, coming back to standing. Lunging onto the other side, feeling that tension point, coming up to standing. From that position, maybe pull your right knee into your chest, hold briefly, and down. Switch sides, back and forth, until you start to feel yourself loosen up and your range of motion will increase. From that, maybe some kick-throughs. Some people call them Frankensteins, where you kick up nice and high. Now you're starting to get into it. It's still a warm-up. It's still a dynamic stretch. We're not trying to kick our foot over our head right away. You're bringing it up as high as you feel comfortable and down. Kick through again. You should be able to get a little higher into it and getting more dynamic, more swing with that leg as you go, loosening up those joints and getting the blood flow going while you from that sitting position that they've been in. Getting everything moving. With the arms, some people call them huggers. Hug yourself, swing through, bringing your arms together and then releasing your arms together across your body and releasing, getting those joints primed and everything moving.
Okay, awesome. And I think people start to realize that you said it's not a workout, but a lot of times after the end of a dynamic stretching routine, you're sweating a little bit and you're...
It's definitely a warm-up.
Yeah. So, if people don't want to get on a treadmill and run for 10 minutes for their warm-up or walk or something, they can kind of, kill two birds with one stone and stretch and get warm at the same time.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, so we foam roll, we dynamic stretch. Any other things that we can work on?
The cool down.
The
cool down is definitely an integral part of making sure that your mobility is on point. If you do a 10-mile run and then you go sit in your seat for the next 4 hours, your muscles that were nice and loose and everything felt amazing totally just locked up, and now they're frozen. And you're going to stand up and feel stiff. Even the most well-trained athlete would come from that situation, from a run to a sitting tight, and they'd be stiff. You need to make sure that you're allowing your muscles to cool down, some follow-up stretching. This is where maybe the static stretching comes in. After your run, you're holding a lunge. You're allowing the blood to flow, but you're cooling everything down. You come back up. It would follow maybe what looks a little bit like a yoga pose, a T lunge, lunge forward, rotate your arm up towards the sky, hold it, bring your breath down, bring your body temperature down, allow yourself to slow down before you just go into that sitting position, before you jump in the car and drive home for an hour. Allow yourself to rest a little bit and come down from that movement. This is also another time to grab that foam roller and kind of distribute that the blood that's now built up in your legs that have been working so hard. Use that foam roller to help everything even out. That way you're not creating this tightness that you're going to feel later on in the day.
Awesome. And you mentioned something there about breath. Is that something you're cueing or focusing on, breathing while they're stretching?
Definitely. If you're right after you finish a hardcore exercise, you're breathing. You're breathing hard. As you exercise, you want to make sure that you're breathing in and breathing out, bringing your breath down, bringing your heart rate down, but also breathing in and breathing out allows you to get deeper into the stretch, allows everything to distribute more evenly. It allows you to kind of come to center with what you just did and feel that finish of your exercise. Breathing allows your body to flow better rather than just, okay, breathe and done. We're going to breathe into it. We're going to stretch. We're going to relax. We're going to focus on coming back from the exercise.
Awesome. Yeah, and I think cooling down, well, stretching in general, cooling down and breathing are things, they're so simple to do, but nobody really wants to do them, where it's you get through your hard workout and you just want to go. And I think this is a nice reminder that those are critical. for your performance. Honestly, yeah.
I've been I've been really bad in the past at, I get done with a workout, jump in the car and go. Mm-hmm. I've never really paid attention to actually coming down from it. And in the last year working with my clients, I've seen the benefits of taking that time. The last 10 minutes of the workout, okay, they want an hour workout, but the last 10 minutes we're slowing down and they're not as sore and they're not as tight and they're not having as many injuries because we're taking the time to warm up properly and to cool down properly rather than bang, we're working out, bang, we're in the car, we're on with our life. Taking that time helps to create a more well-balanced athlete.
Awesome. I want to go back to one other thing you briefly mentioned. That was active release therapy. And we spoke about this on a previous podcast, just when people do get hurt, that for some reason they're so hesitant to get help from a professional. And they'll ask strangers online what they can do, but they won't go see somebody that could probably fix some of these things in, you know, just a couple sessions. So since you took the right path, I just wanted you to, one, explain, you know, your thoughts on active release, what it is, how it worked for you, and just kind of elaborate on that a little.
I saw a really good active release therapist in Oceanside, Natural Solutions Therapy. I was referred to him by Mike at MROC, who he had personally seen. I've never been the kind of person to go to a doctor. If something isn't broken, I'm not going to a doctor. I am a bad offender of this, but I was broken. And in my mind, I didn't know if I'd ever be able to run again. I wanted to get back to it. So I let myself go to see a specialist. And his take on looking at me was totally different than what I expected. I was so used to typical Western medicine. You walk in the doctor's office. Okay, we're going to send you for an MRI. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You really just need to rest. If you rest, you'll be better. And that's not what I wanted to hear. I was just starting training and racing, and I wanted to get back to what I wanted to do, which was compete in Spartan races. I don't want to hear, you're going to need to rest. What does that mean? What does rest really mean? Do you mean I need to sit on the couch for a month? I mean, what is rest? When I walked into the active release therapist's office, he said, okay, I want to see how you squat. Okay, your squat is really bad. He actually analyzed how I move and found what was happening to my body when I was moving that was causing the issue rather than here's the issue, we're just going to go from here. He looked at what was causing the issue so we could come up with a plan to get past the issue rather than just band-aiding the issue. Mm-hmm. And it really opened my eyes to there's more than just MRI, sit there, relax, injection, whatever the typical doctor is going to prescribe. I liked that there was an alternative. Now, in some situations, going to your primary care physician and having them order an MRI and having them look at you, that's the best step. Mm-hmm. But taking a step to see somebody about your injury, whatever your injury may be, why would you talk to somebody who, yeah, they had a bad knee once upon a time, so they're going to give you their advice. You need to see a specialist who can look at you and see what's wrong with you so you can move past it. Otherwise, you're just band-aiding the situation and you're going to continue to have this issue. If you're lucky, maybe you won't. If you're lucky, maybe it'll go away. But why do you want to risk further injury? Maybe next time you go out, you're going to injure yourself a little more and soon you're leading yourself down the road to surgery. And surgery, there is a recovery period, and it is sitting on your butt. So you definitely want to take the steps to find somebody, whether it is somebody who practices active release therapy or acupuncture or massage therapy, whatever it may be, or if you just want to go to your regular doctor. Seeing somebody who can help you with what's causing pain. You're not supposed to be in pain. We weren't created to be in pain. Our body is supposed to function at a certain level. And if we're pushing ourselves past that level and it's causing pain, we need to find out what's causing that.
Yeah, and I think that's a big point right there is cause versus symptom, where it's like people will say my knee hurts and not understanding that that's a symptom of something. That's not causing, you know, where it's there might be nothing wrong with your knee, but the way you run is really wrong or the way you squat. And having somebody that can look at that versus, well, your knee hurts, here's some medicine to make that pain go away.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why running coaches, strength coaches, they know how you're supposed to move. We're all created the same. Structurally, we're all basically the same. Mm-hmm. If you're moving in a different way, you need a specialist who knows how you should move to help you correct that. Running coaches who can analyze your running form, strength coaches who can analyze your squat form, they're going to be able to break it down and help you fix what's wrong with you. If you've already got an issue, going to a specialist, like an active release therapist.
Definitely.
Then you're at that point. You've got to figure out the why.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're listening to this and you are one who tends to go to WebMD and find that you have some weird disease that 1% of the population has or whatever it might be, instead you might want to go online and maybe ask for recommendations where, hey, I do have an issue. Does anyone know of a good therapist in this area that might be able to help versus, hey, can you guys diagnose me over Facebook?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's move on. So you're getting ready for this weekend, and you mentioned something about equipment, and I thought that might be something good to talk about. So let's talk about the Ultra Beast. And if maybe this is somebody's first time doing it, or maybe they did in the past and just were not prepared at all, what should we think about with equipment?
Well, okay, this is another area. So last year, apparently, I was just a mess. I was not ready for the Ultra Beast. I thought I was. I think Hawaii gave me a false sense of security. I showed up in Tahoe, Southern California girl. I didn't have a jacket. I didn't have any kind of cold weather apparel. I was going to run it in a long sleeve shirt with with a short sleeve shirt over it, Under Armour tights, and my Salomons, and I was good to go. Yeah, it's cold up in Tahoe. I did not prepare. My friend, luckily, one of my teammates had race Saturday. She said, please take my windbreaker. I happened to have a pair of gloves in my bag. I went to the local sporting goods store and bought ear protection so I could keep my ears warm. But I was pretty cold. I was definitely cold. And cold, your body will struggle in the cold. So this year, I'm wearing the same jacket. It's now my lucky jacket. It's still my friend's jacket, but I think I've worn it more hours than she has. I have insulated waterproof gloves, so I don't have to worry about my hands getting wet and cold. I have neoprene socks, so my feet will stay dry and warm. I have a face mask. The sun never came out last year, so there was no sun to warm us up. So I have a face mask and ear protection to keep my body warm. I have hand warmers. I'm planning on putting hand warmers in my camel pack next to my water bladder. So I have warmish water to drink. I also plan on drinking more water. I did not drink enough water last year. Mm-hmm. And nutrition. When you're out there for that many hours pushing your body, you definitely need to think about nutrition. I like to keep a Clif Bar. A Clif Bar is really hard to eat when you're running, but I cut it into thirds, so it's just manageable bites.
Okay.
I always have beef jerky on me. It has the sodium to help me recover a little bit and the protein, and it makes me a little bit happy because I feel like I'm eating real food, not just bars and nuts and berries.
Yeah.
And goos, of course. Goos always seem to help. Even if you're not a goo person, if you're at mile 20 of a race and your body starts locking down and you suddenly have that goo, it will help you. If nothing else, mentally, it will help you. And then my little secret weapon is Jolly Ranchers.
Okay.
Jolly Ranchers do nothing to actually benefit you. But when you drink out of a camelback for several hours, your mouth tastes like a camelback.
Yeah.
So having a Jolly Rancher, something to mentally make you a little bit happy and make your mouth taste a little bit better, is always nice. Something to make you remind yourself that, oh yeah, okay, I'm a normal person. Just because I'm doing this horrible race right now, I'm a normal person.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard that before. That's an awesome tip. Or maybe, and if it's not Jolly Ranchers for you, just maybe something easy that makes you feel good when you're feeling terrible during that race.
Exactly. Something that makes you happy.
Awesome. All right. Well, I know we're running out of time. I just have a couple more questions that will kind of go rapid fire to finish up. So what is your favorite obstacle?
I like the rope climb because it was the most gratifying to get up that damn rope and hit the bell.
Awesome. All right. How about your least favorite?
Least favorite would have to be the multi-rig because I still have not completed it burpee free. And that's a big
one. That is a tough one. That gets to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about a resource that we can give our listeners? So this could be a piece of equipment, an app, a website, a movie, a book, just something you think everybody should have in their arsenal.
Oh, a normal person. What would they? My first instinct is to recommend the book Supple Leopard.
Okay.
Your muscles are to be supple, but I don't think everybody would want to read that one right off the bat. Let's see. You know, I'm going to, I know I've harped a lot on the foam roller, and I know a lot of people do own foam rollers. I'm going to add lacrosse ball. Okay. It's something not a lot of people currently utilize, and it's something that's so beneficial. It's once you've moved on from that foam roller, you're using it effectively, you still have knots you need to work out. And a simple lacrosse ball, it's a cheap piece of equipment, but it's definitely good to have in your arsenal to help you get those stubborn knots out and break everything free. That is my go-to now because I've well-versed with the foam roller. I've used it a lot, but I still have issues. That lacrosse ball is my buddy.
Awesome. And I think even, you know, the book, The Supple Leopard, it might be a little technical for some people, but honestly, if you just look at the pictures, you get some great suggestions on release techniques and just some stretches in there. So I'll put links for that too so people can check
Perfect.
It out if they're interested.
Thank you.
Okay, last question. Let's say you're going to work with a client. They come see you, first-time racer, and before the race, what's one tip or piece of advice you would give them?
So what I tell all of my clients, because people's nerves are running wild, I tell every client, and I tell myself this, you pay to do this. You're not a sponsored athlete. You pay to do this. So have fun. You've put in the time. You put in the training, don't freak out. Just go do what you want to do, have fun with it. And remember, this is what we choose to do. You're choosing to do this. Nobody's making you do this. So have a good time. We kind of get wrapped up on it and we forget that sometimes.
Definitely.
But I think it's important to remind people that this is what we choose to do.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. So if people have some questions for you or just want to learn more about you, find out what you're up to, how could they reach you?
They can find me on Facebook, Bonnie Spartan, pretty easy to find. They can email me at bonnie@fitnesswithoutlimits.com. Those are the two best ways to find me. I'm on Instagram as well, Bonnie_Spartan. And then my business, Fitness Without Limits, we're the hummingbird logo, but yeah, we're on Facebook, on Instagram. You can find me either way.
Awesome. And I will put links for all that so people can just go to the show notes and check it out. And I highly recommend you follow Bonnie and check out some of the things that she's doing. All right, well, that is going to do it for episode 8 of the Spartan Underground SGX show. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to Coach Bonnie Spartan for giving us great insight into her training methods and helping us prep for those long races. If you ever want to give it a try, definitely look her up. Her company is Fitness Without Limits. If you are in the Southern Cal area, if you live here or you're just out for a visit, you would definitely want to check out one of their workouts. I promise you won't regret it. In the show notes, you're going to find Coach Bonnie's contact information, website, as well as any other link that was mentioned in the show for some of our mobility products that we recommend. Don't forget, it is www.spartanunderground.com/episode-8. And also, we'll put a link in our show notes if you do need extra help for your Spartan training. We have our 90 Days to Spartan online training program. With that, it is still 50% off. You are going to get all three training programs. That includes a program for a sprint race, a super race, and the beast race. You actually get all three. So even if you're just starting with the sprint, most likely you're going to get hooked and want to take on that super and eventually that beast. So these are all done for you workouts that will really cover everything you need to know. So check out our show notes for more info on that. Next week, we have another great show coming up, a great interview. Can't wait to get it out to you guys. Until then, keep training hard.